Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been going back and forth on this, and I'm not even sure where I stand. Is it better to face a quote-unquote familiar opponent given the circumstance of where they are, or is it not better? You know, you want to maybe face somebody that you don't know or that they don't know you as much. Very interested to see just how this secondary plays this 49er passing game. It felt like ever since that Baltimore game last year, Mike McDonald, the boy wonder, the DC from the Ravens who took over Seattle, you know, what is he going to do with Witherspoon? Does Tariq Woolen play in this game? You know, they've got other safeties up there. What do they do to negate the passing game? And then, you know, can the Niners stop the run? Can they stop this, I believe, to be potentially lethal offensive threat? Because they got wide receivers that can beat you. Last year, you know, they switched up and put Charvarius Ward on DK day of the game, and it felt like that kind of changed things for them. So I don't know what the both teams have in store, and I don't know if it's – is it good that they're facing an NFC West opponent that they kind of know? Is it bad? I don't know, but we're going to see.
Well, one thing we know about Seattle is last week, and Baldy pointed this out, and you watch a condensed version back of the game, and Tyrone Tracy Jr. for the New York Giants ran all over Seattle. On the flip side, Kenneth Walker III only received 5 carries, and Zach Charbonnet only received 2 carries. So your running backs only had 7 carries for the Seattle Seahawks for 30 yards.
Oof.
I can guarantee you, Kenneth Walker III ain't walking out that football game on Thursday with only 5 carries. He may have 5 carries on the first possession.
That's a great point.
You know, so they're going to run the ball. And one thing about it, that image of DK Metcalf at the end of the game against the New York Giants where he's just looking despondent, he's just ticked off. He had 4 catches, 55 yards, was a non-factor. They will try to make him a factor. They will try to make Jackson Smith and Jigba a factor. But if you're the 49ers, you're looking at the tape saying, the New York Giants sacked Geno Smith 7 times. Put pressure on him all game long.
I mean, do I sound like an idiot for saying, are we sure that the New York Giants front 7 isn't maybe better than the Niners?
It might be. It might be.
I mean, I don't think highly of Thibodeau, but Brian Burns is an excellent player.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, was it Dexter Lawrence?
Yeah, 3 sacks. You know, hat trick.
I don't know, man. The part that kind of is difficult to compromise there is we have Nick Bosa. Like, you should be able, with a Nick Bosa, to be able to be in those conversations. Like, the fact that we're having that conversation is kind of alarming.
Nick Bosa should be able to create for others. And if others can't take advantage, then, you know, you're going to have another question in the offseason about retooling his defensive line. But these are the guys you got. And these are the guys you got. Low deal. Who did you join? Sidney Goo? Was it Sidney Goo he joined? Or was it Willard Dibbs? Willard Dibbs. Okay. I just see low deal because...
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The tape don't lie. And when you get Baldy talking and you get Low Deal talking and we got the whole famous drop of me yelling at you saying, Sasuke, if you don't watch the film, they don't say anything. You don't watch the film. Well, Low Deal talked about the film and he wants to be optimistic, but the film don't lie.
I want to be optimist and I want not to be doom and gloom, and I'm not going to say, oh yeah, they're going to get this together. I'm telling you, what I've seen with the eye test, they're not good enough. And the fans are going like, oh, Low, what are you talking about? Let me tell you, you watch this team play, and you watch the trenches. Go back and watch the All-22. You go in there and download it and go watch the All-22. They're getting pushed off the line of scrimmage. There was they tried to do gap control. Last year, you fired the defensive coordinator because you said, hey, it was a defensive coordinator. Now, players got to take accountability as well. Yeah, players got to go out there and play. But you watch this defense, you watch the gap control, you watch the different things they're doing, and sometimes they're in the right place and they're just getting pushed off the ball. Watch the tape. The tape doesn't lie.
Lo'Neal, watch the tape. You guys believe Lo'Neal played this league for 16, 17 years? Should be in a Hall of Fame fullback? Should be in a Pro Football Hall of Fame, Lo'Neal. He's not lying to you. How about this one from Lo'Neal with Willard and Dibbs?
They're not the physical team. No one is scared of them anymore. They're throwing blows. It's not that the lack of effort. So I just think that I don't necessarily think it may be scheme. I think for this scheme, they don't have necessarily maybe the right guys up front because they're getting beat in the trenches. Fred Warner, man, you guys seen what he's been doing. The interceptions, punch outs, all the things you're doing. But they're making plays down the field. So you got to win in front, and they're not winning in the trenches. And so until that problem is fixed, because when your defense is playing well, guys, what does that do? That gives your offense more opportunities to score because your defense is getting three and outs. When you're not winning on defense in first and second down, now it's third and two and third and three, guess what? It's run or pass. You have to stay ahead of the sticks on defense as well. And their defense, the defense is not getting it done. Until that happens, until they make some you know changes, whether it's players, whether it's scheme, you're going to continue to struggle.
Getting beat in the trenches, not being physical enough, Shasky. And we're going to get to the offense because the offense has their own issues right now. But I have a lot more confidence in that offense led by Brock Purdy in turning it around. A couple key points. When you're getting dominated in the trenches, that can't happen, right? You know, you get dominated in the trenches in this league, you're going to lose a lot of football games. You're going to give up a lot of yards on the ground. Number two, he mentioned what I've been mentioning, but it sounds better coming from a pro football player than it comes from Bonte Hill. You fired Steve Wilkes last year. You told us all he was the damn problem. His scheme, he ran your scheme. But you fired Steve Wilkes, and he was the scapegoat. All right? He was the scapegoat. We have to start holding players accountable. Lo'Neal said it. I've been saying it all week. When are we going to hold these guys accountable? Players got to play. Players got to make tackles. Players got to get off blocks. They got to get off the ball faster. It's a problem. I'm getting a little fired up here because it's too much on the coaches. At some point, the players got to play. And Fred Warner kind of alluded to that. We don't need any grandiose speeches. If you ain't ready to play on Thursday, then what are you doing here?
Well, no, I agree with that. But, I mean, we could have a coaching, a schematics conversation. Yeah. I think they've got some personnel issues. So, like, that isn't coaching. That's, like, management and roster construction. And then, like, they have some really unfortunate injuries, you know? Like, it just is what it is. I think the Dre Greenlaw injury and their... I mean, how do you replace someone like that? How do you find someone to replace Dre Greenlaw? You almost can't. But they're... I'm just going to... Like, I hate picking on an individual player. Their insistence to play Devondre Campbell has really hurt them.
But I don't know how,
in a lot of different phases.
But you got to realize, though, Shasky, D. Winters gets hurt.
Oh,
right before week one. You know,
I don't think D. Winters has been that good when he's been out there.
But you don't have many options.
No, I agree. But this is where maybe in the offseason, you know, I'm saying hypothetically, maybe you targeted a linebacker in free agency who was better than Devondre Campbell. Maybe you drafted somebody in the draft who could come in. But this goes back to you had a lot of holes, and this goes back to the conversation of was wide receiver really a need for two selections, first round, fourth round? I think when we talk about these things, you know, like building a team, there's a lot of different ways that you can assemble it. There's free agency, there's trades, there's draft. And so when you have a wide receiver and one guy that you thought you were going to keep in Ayuk, and you kick your feet and then you wait to sign him, and that kind of screws up your wide receiver room for the first couple weeks of the season. And then you draft two young guys and neither of them have really been a factor on offense. And it's like you got so many holes. You can't fill all the holes, right? And so when you draft at a position where you already have some strength, I think you leave yourself open to be criticized. The question that I don't have the answer to be is, do they think Dre Greenlaw can come back this year and be an impact player? I don't have the answer to
that. Well, he can, but I'm focused on the front four. And one thing we don't discuss enough around here was it a mistake to let Eric Armstead walk? Because now you look up front, Malik Collins has been solid. He's been really solid, number 99. But you don't have Javon Hargrave. The other side, Leonard Floyd has been on a milk carton. I'm looking at the guys up front and what they did to kind of stabilize things. Now, if you keep Eric Armstead, you may not make the trade for Malik Collins. And we don't even know who Malik Collins is at this point, right? So there's that flip side. But not having Javon Hargrave and not having depth up front with that defensive line, which was a problem. Mm-hmm. I was very, very skeptical of the depth on the edge. Now, the depth in the middle is also a problem because Jordan Elliott's dealing with a knee injury. You already know that Yeter Gross-Matos is going to be out, what was it, 4 to 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Up front, if you can't get off blocks up front, if you can't get a defensive line that can penetrate and slam the gaps, then they're going to... These linemen are going to get to the second level, get to the linebackers anywhere. They're going to block guys like Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw and make their jobs that much harder. So it stops with those guys putting their hand in the dirt and getting the push against an opposing offensive line. And right now it just doesn't feel like they're doing that.
Well, I the Armstead thing is an interesting point. Like, he got hurt, I believe we were talking about this, Sam and I, like, I don't know, week 12, week 13, week 14. It came out that he had like a meniscus injury and then he had a foot injury. He only played 9 games the year prior. He played 12 last year plus all the playoff games, but he admitted he was compromised, you know? And so I think the Niners tried to bring him back at a lower number. And I don't think he was willing to do that. I don't think he wanted to stay with the Niners at a lower number for whatever his reasons are. But when I look at Armstead, it felt like to me when you signed Hargrave to the money that you did, it was one or the other. Eventually, you were going to have to move off of one or the other. So your point is well taken. I do think that they miss Eric Armstead, but he's been dinged up as well.
He has been dinged up.
You know, but he, look, when you and I said this the day he left, when he was here at D-tackle, he was a very productive player. Yep. Was he overpaid, underpaid, or underrated, overrated? I don't know. But he was a productive player. He was a good Niner. I think that the foot and the knee injuries caught up to him, and I think they tried to lower his cap number, and he didn't want to do that here.
No, he wasn't buying it. He wasn't buying it. So,
but they miss him. I can't argue that they don't miss him.
They miss him. Now, 408, Comcast Business Text Line, can Devin White be a band-aid until Dre comes back? It's funny. I like to dig up old tweets.
Is Devin White even good anymore? No, Why did Philly cut him?
Because he's not good anymore.
Why is that? Why do you say that?
I
don't know enough about
him. I don't know enough about it. All I know is last year Tampa Bay benched him. He was on the bench in the playoffs. On the bench.
I thought very highly of him a couple years back, too.
Oh, I did, too. He was a Pro Bowler or whatnot, but I thought very highly. I mean, he was benched last year. Benched, all right, by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So when he signed that one-year $7.5 million deal, me checking receipts, he was benched in Tampa, I said. 49er fans should be shook by this move. And here we go. We're not even at the end of October, and he's already cut. Well, Devondre Campbell could be that next linebacker in this league that could get cut as a starter once Dre Greenlaw gets back.
There's a very running back feel to linebacker. You're getting car crashes on like every single play, and it feels like the shelf life is not very long compared to maybe other positions. And it's like once your body goes a little, like you become a liability in space. And what have you been saying to me all year? Joe, a former host told me, other teams will tell you what your weaknesses
are. They do. They do.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.